Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Hope you're all doing well. Get all the episodes over at The Great Divide. 1776.com. With me today, very special guest, a warrior in the conservative movement, Scott Pressler. He's a conservative activist. He's traveling the country. He's holding seminars on teaching people how to run for office. He's registering Republicans. He's flipping Democrat voters to Republican voters. It's unbelievable what he's doing. Scott Pressler, thanks for being here. How are you?
Life is good. Thank you. Yeah, I'm sitting here in Great Neck in Nassau County. And for our New York residents out there, I have a joke for you. Tell me if you like it.
Do it.
I finally figured out why they call it the Long Island Expressway. Because when they tell you you're going to have a good time, that's a big fat L-I-E. Isn't that good?
It is good. I like it because the Long Island, I live in Long Island, the Long Island Expressway sucks. There's no good times on the Long Island Expressway. I'm going to steal that. I'm stealing that joke, Scott. I think it's great.
Please do. Because literally, L-I-E, Long Island Expressway, it's perfect. It writes itself.
Yeah, and I've never heard it before. And it took so, you're from, let's start with this. So you're obviously, we know you're not from New York. You're in New York right now because you're doing amazing work this whole month in New York, trying to flip, working hard to flip New York from blue to red, like your shirt says. So you have a pretty interesting, amazing story, I think. How did this all start with you and walk us through how you started, where you got to now. I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on. So,
sure. Well, a little bit about my background. So my dad is a retired Navy captain, and his dad was also a retired Navy captain. So I always joke, I don't know what happened to me, but that's okay. I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, to a wonderful, loving mom and dad who still to this day, after 38 years of marriage, share true love.
God bless you.
I wouldn't be the man I am today if it weren't for my mom and dad. So shout out to them.
Absolutely.
I graduated from high school, went on to college, George Mason University, graduated with a 3.63 beauty and brains. I'm joking. I'm just kidding. But I was one of those millennials that, you know, I couldn't find a job. It was tough after the recession. And it was difficult to find a job, even in my career of criminal justice, which you would think would have a very broad base of opportunities for future employees. And so I started walking dogs for a living. And, you know, I want people to know there's no shame in being a dog walker. There's no shame in a hard day's work and honest day's labor.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something about dog walking. I went to high school with a girl who currently – she started a dog walking business.
Yeah.
And on her own with a partner. And I see it has grown all over where I am, Long Island. She services just about every town and I think has upwards of 50 dog walkers working for her. That is an amazing business, that dog walking business.
That's an empire.
It is.
You can listen. I don't care if you're, you know, the janitor at McDonald's or if you're the dog walker or if you're the garbage man.
The garbage man.
Understand, you can make a lot of money from doing sanitation work or dog walking. So no, I want to make it very clear, you know, I don't look down by any measure to those jobs because that was me. I just chose a different path. And so I went on to work at an elementary school, and this was a job, not a career. And in 2014, I knew how important it was, the opportunity to take back the Senate. And there were multiple governorships that we could take back. And I actually created my Twitter account the day that President Obama was reelected in 2012. That night, if you look at my Twitter account, it says created November 2012. And so I applied all across the country to people that I thought shared my values. And I'm a Tea Party guy. I'm very conservative. And so I wasn't applying to people like John Kasich. And after 3 days, I heard back from Texas and they gave me 2 weeks to pack up my life and move to Texas from Virginia. And I spent the next year in 2014 helping to elect Governor Greg Abbott in the great state of Texas, which is why you always see me in cowboy boots. That's how
right. That's right.
And then after that experience, I knew I was good at politics. I had an affinity for it. I loved working with people. I felt like I was making a difference in my community. And I knew how important it was that a Republican wins the White House in 2016, because unfortunately, Antonin Scalia passed away. And right. so the Supreme Court was up for grabs at a 4-4 stall. Yeah. And I didn't want Hillary Clinton to be the deciding person nominating a liberal Supreme Court justice to the highest court in the land.
Absolutely.
And so for me, you know, I hate to say it was never about President Trump at first. It was always about defeating Hillary Clinton. That was always my main objective, is making sure she wasn't the person to appoint a Supreme Court justice. So I spent 2 years of my life working to defeat the Hillary. We elected President Trump. And I noticed that people weren't talking about voter registration. Nobody was talking about voter registration. There was this void, this gap. And in 2018, after working for a not-for-profit where I couldn't be political, I quit my job. And I went completely independent. And I remember telling my ma, I was like, Ma, what the heck am I going to do? I got no job. I got nobody calling me. And I said, okay, I'm going to travel the country and I'm going to teach voter registration and I'm going to register new voters. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I didn't even know where to start. My girlfriend who moved from New York to Connecticut goes, Scott, I want to be your first training. So we did. We, in Connecticut, in a place where there are more cows than people, it was in the middle of nowhere, we had over 100 people come to our training. Wow. And then I had a friend in North Carolina who goes, Scott, I want you to come to Fuquay Varina, where I'm going to actually be visiting in a couple weeks. It's outside of Raleigh.
Okay.
We had 120 people come. And at this point, I think people saw, wow, Scott's bringing out crowds. He's bringing out the numbers. He's training.
It's the charm. It's the charm, Scott. It's the charm.
It's the hair. The hair is not down today. But
it's
people
the,
like
hair.
The hair.
You do have some pretty luxurious hair. I've seen it. Yeah.
And at this point, my phone started ringing off the hook. And pretty much from, I would say, March of 2019 until Election Day in 2020, I was in a new city, in a new state, traveling all over the country. And I believe I traveled to 26 states in the last 2 years.
Unbelievable.
And so after President Trump, the election was decided for Joe Biden. We'll just say that.
Yep.
I, again, went to my ma and I was like, Ma, what the heck am I gonna do? Having the same conversation I just had with her, you know, just a year and a half ago. And I went, okay, nobody's talking about how to actually pass election integrity legislation. Nobody is talking about how to take over state and local levels of government. And so I said, okay, I've already learned that I can travel the country. I have a base. I can do a presentation on election integrity and how to run for office. And so I never stopped. Immediately after the election, I already went on Steve Bannon's show. I posted on social media how to contact your legislators, what to say to them, how to make sure that they are actually passing election integrity reform. And since I want to say February of this year, in 2021, I've traveled across the country teaching people how to run for office, how to run for school board, state senate, state representative. And this year alone in 2021, I'm traveling to 28 states.
Wow.
And that's my plan going into 2022. I want to not only win back the House, win back the Senate, but I want to elect mayors, sheriffs, city council members, school board members, And if the Democrats, the lockdown liberals, try to shut us down again, our businesses, our schools, when we win these elections, they will never be able to shut us down again because we will be in control at the local level.
With actual values that put communities first and put Americans first, all the way from down to the school board to city council to the White House.
It's about choice. You know, yes. I want to make it so clear. Yes. We're fighting for, as Republicans and conservatives, liberty, freedom, and choice. Yes. If you want to choose to take the vaccine, that is your personal choice. 100%. If you want to choose to wear a mask, that is your personal choice. But I believe that people, not government, should be able to dictate how to live their lives, and that we shouldn't have vaccine passports, nor should we have mask mandates, that you should take personal accountability and personal responsibility for your life and have the choice on how you choose to live your life. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. That's the fundamentals of this country, of being free and having that choice and those liberties. And that's what it's all about. And I'm going to get into a little later on. I attended my local Board of Education meeting, and it was explosive. And it was so many people advocating about parents' choice. First, I want to say you've traveled more states in this country than most retire age adults have traveled in their lifetime. And I remember seeing on your Facebook, you run yourself ragged. There's no doubt about it. There was even a point where you made yourself sick from all of the work you're doing, where you had to like realize that maybe you had to take a step back for a couple days to recover and rebound. And then you did, and you're back at it. I mean, you're traveling. I mean, you're in New York right now for an entire month. You're displaced for an entire month, and you're working every day. You're having these speaking engagements. You're out there registering voters. And in New York alone, I mean, that's a massive feat. I see every time you're posting, hey, look, I got another voter in New York to register as a Republican. I got another Democrat in New York to flip and register Republican. And I feel like in the past couple years, you're the one, you've revolutionized this traveling around the country, registering groups of people to vote as conservatives. Recently, I had her on my show a few weeks ago, Kim Klasick. Mm-hmm. From Baltimore. She has her own PAC now, and she's still heavily supported by Donald Trump, and she's going around. She has her focus on Georgia, you know, Stacey Abrams, and she's traveling also, and she's setting up these, you know, pop-up registration stands, and she's registering people also. And I tell people, you know, you have to – it all starts locally, but you also have to look at the big picture. You know, we it's not just, oh, I'm stuck in New York in this blue bubble. No, you can make a difference. You can make a difference. The problem is the attitude of and a lot of Republicans in New York are very guilty of this. Oh, we're Democrat controlled. What does our vote really matter? And then you have the attitude like down in Georgia. For the Senate race, I truly believe when they had those runoffs, because of the election and the irregularities, that a lot of Republicans didn't bother to come out for that runoff, and that's really
500,000 Republicans stayed home.
Exactly. There you
half
go. I didn't know the number.
Republicans that voted in the November election did not vote in the runoff. Georgia is not a blue state. We stayed home, and I hate to say it, but look, a lot of people do this. There yes. are conservatives on Twitter and social media that have millions of followers, more than me, bigger yeah. platforms than I do. Right. And I'm not going to call people out because I don't do that, because I don't sure. believe in attacking our own.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to strongly encourage that these people, look, why are you not pushing people to get registered to vote? Why are yeah. you not pushing them to engage their school board and city council meetings? Why are you not encouraging them to knock on doors? The reason why Democrats have won in some elections is because they simply outwork us. And, yeah. you know, we need to have a little bit of tough love talk with our own party. But if we truly want to win elections, and if we want to overcome the shenanigans that are always going to be present in our elections,
yes,
then one thing that you can do that would be the biggest battle against fraud or shenanigans is every person should take off work on election day and become an election day worker. If you want safe and secure, fair and free elections, take off one day and work the polls. Make sure that we have eyes and ears inside of polling locations. And that is how we can help secure the vote.
Yeah, they say, I forget whose radio show I was listening to on Patriot Radio. I don't know if it was Will Cow or it was David Webb, but they were saying that the shortage of precinct captains and polling workers, there is a massive shortage of them. It's like nobody wants to take on the job to sit there at the polls all day to keep that watchful eye to make sure we have safe, secure elections. And that's a problem. And listen, maybe I'm guilty of it too. I was involved in my local Republican Party years ago. I was a committeeman. I used to walk the streets doing, getting signatures and everything else. I haven't done that in a long time. I do other things. There's a job for everybody. But
people don't know what they don't know.
True. Right?
And so, for example, it should be 50-50. It should be an equal amount of Republicans and Democrats inside of our polling locations.
Yes.
However, if only 20% of the 50 half of Republicans actually show to become election day workers, who fills that remaining 30%? Democrats.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like us when we complain about not winning the urban vote or the vote in cities. If we don't show up to present our conservative alternative message, then how dare we criticize or complain when the very people who we never explained our message to don't vote for us? I mean, quite frankly, we're shooting ourselves in the feet, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy if we don't show up to even explain our conservative message.
Absolutely.
So we're a part of the problem, but I want people at home to know you can be the solution, and I'm proof of it.
Yes.
I have self-determined my own destiny, and I hope that doesn't come off as egotistical. That's not my intent.
No.
But I want to show you it can be done. I'm the American dream. I made a choice to determine my own destiny. And so you at home, you can too.
And you're out there doing it. You're doing it on another level, Scott. I mean, the level you're out there getting people together, it's just it's more than amazing. You can't touch that. You can't touch that type of dedication.
We're having a great time.
You were just at Gracie Mansion in New York City in front of that. Anyone that doesn't know Gracie Mansion, that's where the mayor lives, de Blasio. So you spent, I think it was a Saturday, in de Blasistan, New York City, protesting against mandates, the vaccine, proof vaccine, to walk into a restaurant to eat a burger. So you're doing this all over the country, all over the country. I do want to single out somebody though, because I watched saw your posts and videos on it back. You know, one of Nancy Pelosi's Republicans, Liz Cheney, which I know you had a lot to say about, and you know her, I can't see her returning. You know, I can't, after everything that's happened, her poor leadership. I can't see it. Are you gonna take an active role in that? In the midterms with Liz Cheney?
Unfortunately, I could see her returning to Congress and getting reelected. And it's unfortunate because there's such a low turnout in primaries that if we have several candidates running who split the vote, she could win, not with a plurality, but, you know, simply by the fact that she won more votes, but didn't win the majority. I mean, excuse me, she would win a plurality, not a majority. And then not only that, but Democrats will switch to Republican to vote for her. Mark my words, in the primary. And they just did that in Texas, where we had a general election in Texas's sixth district, I believe it was. And what the Democrats did is they voted for the not Trump candidate in order to hurt the movement and make it seem like President Trump no longer has sway or pull in the Republican Party.
And so they carried that hard in the mainstream media, too. I remember they carried that
absolutely.
Hard.
Well, they used that as a
Trump has
as
no
a reason
influence.
Why Trump is no longer relevant, which I think is just completely absurd. The fact of the matter is Democrats voted in the election, and they did that strategically in order to hurt the president. So, no, it's a very real possibility that people like Mitt Romney could win again. It's a very real possibility that Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, if they don't take out the 16th district, could win again. And so that's why I'm encouraging every single person, even if you're disillusioned with the Republican Party, even if you don't believe in what the Republican Party and its leadership as it stands right now stands for, if you become an independent voter, or if you choose to leave the Republican Party, what you're doing is you're enabling the weak, elitist, establishment Rhino Republicans to potentially maintain their status and get reelected back into their congressional roles. And so I encourage you, register as a Republican, join the Republican Party, and guys, let's take it over peacefully and democratically. I have to say that, otherwise CNN will call me an insurrectionist.
Right.
But let's take over the party and reform it in our image.
I'm pretty sure you're already on some list, as I feel like I'm on some list. You know, we're already
late.
Yeah, you're definitely up there in the top. You are definitely. Well, I'm pretty sure I've already been called domestic terrorist numerous times just by speaking my mind on a podcast, and a white supremacist and everything else. It's insanity what they call you. Especially, we were talking about choice earlier and how so important it is. I'm getting attacked today, as we're sitting here, all over social media, by about a dozen people that feel that it should not be my choice to mask my 8-year-old in school come September, and that when the time comes that I should be forced to vaccinate my child if they have vaccines available for that age bracket. I went to my Board of Education meeting last night, and there was, for a meeting that usually gets between 5 and 10 people monthly, they had about 200 people in person, plus I don't know how many hundreds they had on Zoom, and I was told by several parents that a lot of people are going to be there against the mandates, and there were. I was there. Sean Farish from Long Island Lab Majority, who you know, showed up. He was there to sit in. He sat behind me, and I got up and I spoke, and I told them what I thought about. I gave them a few stats. I didn't really dispute science of masks. My biggest fight is, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you want your child to wear a mask, have them masked. Let me have my choice and personal responsibility. And we sat there, and I'd say about 15 or so parents and other concerned people from the community spoke. There was, I think, two people that were for the mask mandates, and one of them gave these ridiculous stats that we couldn't even – everyone's looking for them, or he just made them up. And – The bottom line is our freedoms are not, they're not selfish, and our rights should never be hindered by anybody's fear. Leave it to choice.
Absolutely.
And all of the board members there, we were talking to empty suits. I got there at 7:30. I was one of the first ones in the auditorium. There was the IT gentleman who was setting up everything for the meeting was maskless. They had about 8 members of security staff from the school there throughout. None of them had masks on. There was a teacher in the room or staff member, whatever she was, no mask. One of the board members walked in. He had a mask on. He went over and he took his mask off to talk to the other staff member. They weren't requiring masks in the building, nothing. Most of the room, if they out of 200 people, if 10 people had masks on, that was a lot. When the IT guy left, The other board members started coming. They had masks on. The IT said, I got to run upstairs. He came back masked because the bosses were there. It's all a show. And then halfway through the meeting that ran about 2 hours, about three of the board members, instead of just taking them off to talk, they had them off the whole time. And our biggest problem is there are school districts locally to us that are giving the parents choice, and my school district refuses to make that decision. And then they put on a show at the end. One of the school board members got a little agitated with everybody, basically told the whole room to go to hell, and got up and ended the meeting after, you know, just about everybody spoke. And then when we were outside, they cleared the lobby of the school. We were outside. One of the board members called the police to have, I believe, three or four cars showed up. And as soon as the police got there, they knew. They said, we don't even know why we're here. They put on a show because they had said, well, we're going to have a public forum probably next week with our decision. And this is their preempt to now only do it virtually because they feel threatened, because the room at the end of the meeting became explosive when this board member stood up and basically said to 200 people, concerned parents, that the meeting's over and I don't really give a shit what you people have to say anymore. It was unbelievable. And that prompted me.
They need to use the power of the purse. Ultimately, look, each student, I hate to say it, has a dollar sign attached to that student, right? Yes. So parents, I mean, if you really want to make a difference, I tell the school system, look, I'm going to pull my kid. And for every kid we pull from the school system, that's less dollars that are going to be going to your school. And I hate to say it, but this is going to affect every student that's pulled from the school, is going to affect how many teachers are able to teach and have employment in that school system. Yeah. So we have to use the power of the purse. We have to use our leverage as consumers of the system. And the same thing goes for restaurants. I hate to say it, but again, if they are complying with unconstitutional vaccine passport and mask mandate orders,
right,
then they are betraying we the consumer. And yep. So we need to put pressure and we need to put leverage, peaceful and democratic leverage, yes, on schools, restaurants, businesses, that if they comply with these orders, then we will walk. And we will find employment elsewhere. And that's why we're seeing some of the airline industries who are not, by the way, enforcing the vaccine passports or mask mandates, because enough consumers and enough employees told them, you do this, we're going to walk. And so we need to stand united as a force. And if we do that this time, I don't think they're going to be successful at locking us down again. I think people are done. I've already spoken to some business owners here on Long Island who said, we're not going to comply again. We're done.
I 100%. And I say it not in a non-democratic way, you know, do not comply. We cannot comply with mandates. We should not comply with mandates. We should not comply with any of the ridiculous crap that they're attempting to put on us. And back to local, the Board of Education, they're elected, and the elections are, they'll be in, usually they're April and May. And I know in my district, we have two members of the board that are up for re-election,
and we will be voting.
I might be running, Scott. I'm investigating a run for school board, and I'm being approached by a lot of people.
Good for
one
you.
One of which was on the board for 18 years. He came right up to me at the end of the meeting and says, I was on this board for 18 years. If you want to run, I'll walk you through it. So I don't know. But I tell people all the time, you have to get involved locally. If you think you can't run for school board and do the job, then get behind a candidate that has the same values as you to protect our kids. That's what's important.
Honestly, do it. There's no better time. And I'm sorry. I understand if some people go, well, look, I got kids. I got a family. I got a business. Well, at what point are you going to step back and go, we've incrementally lost our freedoms? And if we don't step up now, if we don't right the ship now, especially going into 2022, guys, it's over. And I really want to put that into perspective for you. The only thing saving our country right now are two Democrats. I know, it's really actually quite ironic. Yeah. Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin are the only things standing in the way of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer from giving a pathway to citizenship for 11 million illegal immigrants. They're the only things standing in the way from D.C. becoming a 51st state, which, by the way, will add two Democratic senators to our United States Senate. They're the only things standing in the way from H.R. 1 passing, which will federalize our elections.
Complete control.
And completely destroy any attempts of ours to have election integrity, reform, and legislation. And they're the only thing standing in the way from the Democrats gun grabbing and going after our ability to protect and defend ourselves with the Second Amendment. And so if we don't, if we are unsuccessful at taking the House, at least one chamber of Congress, or maintaining control of the United States Senate by adding Republican senators, it's done. It's over. We are lost. And so 2022, we need every person to come out and vote and overwhelm the polls and register to vote. It's so imperative.
Scott, how does by the way, I didn't get a chance to congratulate you on your the Ronald Reagan Freedom Award from CPAC.
Thank you.
That was a pretty amazing honor. So congratulations with that. And yes, 2022.
And I want to give a shout out to Matt Schlapp. Matt Schlapp.
Good man.
With the Conservative Political Action Conference. He fought so hard for election integrity, especially in the state of Nevada. And I think people should understand he's 100% on the side of safe and secure, fair and free elections. So a big shout out to Matt Schlapp and his wife, Mercedes Schlapp.
Yes, Mercedes. They are a power couple in the conservative movement. They're unbelievable on the things they do. How does one question I wanted to ask you, if you had one before we wrap up, is do you have a political hero, Scott? Do you have one?
Political hero.
I'm asked that question a lot. Mine's Ronald Reagan.
I guess it's kind of cliche to say Trump, but
no, it's not.
Listen, all I want, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I want, when you look me in the eye, when you make me a promise, you deliver on that promise. You keep your word. That's all I want in an elected official. That your actions meet your words. And I think that's why so many people respect President Trump, because his campaign promises, what he said on the campaign trail, he delivered in 4 years as president of the United States. That's all I want. And if I were to ever run for office, I want people to hold me to that same rule, that what I say, my actions are going to meet my words.
Absolutely. That was really well put. And I think you should seriously, I know you have a lot of work ahead of you, and you've done so much work, and maybe there will be a day, and I'd love to see it, for Scott Pressler for Congress or Scott Pressler for Senate, and you would do some serious good damage in one of the chambers representing the people of this country and wherever.
Thank you. I hate to burst your bubble. I won't be running, at least at first, for Congress or for Senate. Course. I would run at the state level.
Sure.
Because I want to write law, and I want to show that federalism, the separation of powers between the federal government and state government, like what Governor Ron DeSantis has been doing with the state legislature in Florida, that is the way that we can harness and wield power to buck up against the federal government. So I would want to run as a state legislative level.
Well, I hope you do it, Scott. I really do. How can everybody find Scott Pressler and follow all the work you're doing, and maybe even get in touch to volunteer or help with voting registration and things? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, knock on wood, I am still on every major platform. So I'm on Twitter at Scott Pressler, ScottPressler. There's only one S in Pressler. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Gab, Telegram, Getter. since there are so many now.
Yes.
And also, in addition to supporting my work at Scott Pressler, I'm also the sole brand ambassador for Rise Pack, R-I-S-E Pack. And I want to explain to you, the work that we're doing is unprecedented. Yes. You know, the Republican Party, political parties, they're focused on registered voters, people that are already a part of the electorate. Right. We have data on likely Republican unregistered voters. And so literally what we're doing is we're using either digital or mailers or a letter writing campaign or text messages or knocking on your door, which we've been doing a lot of, in order to translate those unregistered likely Republican voters as voters so we can then mobilize and push them to the polls. This is community organizing 101. This is President Obama, Stacey Abrams 101. We're using the tools of the Democrats to elect constitutional conservative Republicans into office. And I want to make it clear, because some people like, Scott, why are you in New York? Why are you not in Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin? Why are you wasting your time? And I say to them, well, look, I'm doing this strategically. There's a reason why I'm here on Long Island. Because Congressional District 3 is flippable and winnable from blue to red. And we're not only focusing on New York, but I will be going to Florida. And you can even see behind me on the board, I'm not hiding it. I'm not afraid to show that there are strategic flippable districts, such as Florida 7, which I believe is represented by Stephanie Murphy in Orlando, which is flippable from blue to red, and also Florida 13, Charlie Crist, who wants to be the next governor of Florida, and that is St. Petersburg, kind of in the Tampa area, that's also flippable from blue to red. So everything that we're doing with Rise Pack is strategic. It's based on data. It's based on science, and it works.
It's amazing, and I love the grassroots, the rallying, and the knocking on doors, and that focus. Like you said, everyone focuses on, well, are they registered to vote? Okay, great, have them come. Well, like you said, how about the people that are likely to be registered Republicans? Let's get them registered. And you're right, there aren't enough people thinking about that. So if you're not registered to vote and you hear this and you're for America and America First and the conservative values, register to vote.
Well, I'll literally help you. Like, my DMs are open. You have permission. I give you consent to slide into my DMs. And I mean that in the most wholesome of ways, of course. I mean, I'm registering voters constantly. I'm on my pillow at night until 2 a.m., literally just scrolling through all my messages. Because again, I got to go to 7 different social media platforms to read all my messages. But if you want to register to vote, I will literally help you. I will send you the link. I will send you the website for your state. Or you can always go to, I believe it's vote.gov. And there's a difference. Vote.org, O-R-G, is a tool created by the Democrats to collect your information.
Right.
Vote.gov, G-O-V, which indicates government, is done by the federal government. So don't go to vote.org. It is a tool used by the Democrats to seize your information.
The shady tactics in politics are unfathomable. They're very smart. They're very smart. And people have to realize how seedy politics are. Everything you just mentioned earlier about HR 1 and DC becoming a state because of 2 Senate seats and the two Democrats that stand in the way of all of that. It is all seedy politics. They don't care about you or care about me. They don't care about constituents. They care about the control, the federalizing, and the power, taking power away from the states, federalizing everything, and the Democrats want control. That is it. It's not an argument. It's a fact.
No. Well, and I want to say one last thing. You know, to anybody that watches this, even people that don't like me or aren't a Republican or are maybe confused about what it means to be a Republican, I want to explain to you exactly what we're fighting for. What does it mean to be a Republican? Number one, At the foundation of the Republican Party is the Constitution of the United States of America. We are fighting for the Constitution. We are a constitutional republic. And the First Amendment, Second Amendment, our Bill of Rights must be put first. We are also fighting for liberty, freedom, and as I said, choice, that you, the person, the individual, not government, should be able to dictate how you live your life, so long as you're not infringing upon the rights of anybody else, that you get to do and live your life however you want, so long as you aren't impacting the rights of anybody else. And I want to explain some policies that we are fighting for. Republicans, at least in my opinion, and you can shout out if you disagree with me on any of these, we're fighting for no vaccine passports, no mask mandates, open our schools, open our businesses, fund our police, defund the government. We're fighting for term limits. We're fighting for a balanced federal budget. In the Constitution, we have to balance state governments. So why then would we not have to balance the federal government? We're fighting to end endless wars. We're fighting to secure the border, and that veterans should be put before illegal immigrants, and that it's wrong that we have any homeless veterans sleeping on the streets of America. We're fighting to boycott, divest, and sanction China. China is not our ally. No. China is not our friend. No. China is working against the American people, and more American politicians need to say that. We are fighting against big tech censorship, and more importantly, fighting for freedom of speech. That is a important distinction, that when we're fighting against big tech censorship, it's because we are fighting for you, that you have a voice, that you continue to remain free. And last, we are fighting to stop giving money to countries and entities that hate our American guts.
Yeah, and anyone who would disagree with anything you just said, in my opinion, hates America. So that is all amazing policies and amazing values for every American to have, whether you're Republican or Democrat. You have to open your eyes. This is what makes this country great. Everything that you just said, and I don't think you could put it any better. I just don't. Well, hey, Scott,
that came all from up here. I mean, yeah. Come on, that's pretty impressive. That, I mean, I've got that down. I mean,
I mean this in the whole wholesome way. But between working the polls and everything else you do, I mean, it's you really got it going on.
Polls, I work corners. No, really, my ma. No, my ma. I always say this when I do my presentations across the country. She yells at me. My ma gets really mad because I say, "Ma, I'm gonna go work the corners." She says, "Stop saying you're working the corner." I said, "Well, I do it for free. I mean, come on. You know, I'm out there with my sign."
Well then it's legal.
It's legal. I'm doing it for free.
Oh, that's good stuff. Listen,
you know, it's been such a pleasure being here with you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about all the work that we're going to continue doing. And I mean, look, I'm talking to another New Yorker right here.
You are a New Yorker. Hey, Scott, how do you like your coffee?
Well, I've learned a regular coffee in New York means you get cream and sugar. I learned it's not black. A regular coffee has cream and sugar.
Regular coffee, cream and sugar. I like my coffee with just a little bit of half and half. That's it.
No. You got it all wrong. I like mine like a milkshake. It's got to be like a milkshake.
A milkshake. Oh, that's great. Listen, I'm going to put all of Scott Pressler's social media in the show notes. Be sure to check them out. Please reach out if you need help registering to vote. reach out if you can. He will travel to your city, to your state. If you get the people together, you have a pillow for him to lay his head on, and he will make it happen to get people registered, to teach people how to run for office, and anything that he can do to help take back the House, take back the Senate, take back a governorship. If you're running for dog catcher and have conservative values, get in touch with Scott Pressel. Scott, it was an honor to have you. I really appreciate it. And I wish you all the best out there. I hope to meet you face-to-face soon at something, and while you're still in New York for the next week
or
so.
I'm here for the rest of the month.
There you go. All right, perfect. All right, everybody. Listen, Scott Pressler, conservative activist, great guy. Check him out. It'll be, like I said, all his social media will be available. Go check out the other episodes at thegreatdivide1776.com. As always, we'll see you next time. You take care of yourselves. You take care of each other. And most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.